Amen. Let us turn in the Word of God to the book of Genesis chapter 13. The book of Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13, and we're reading from the verse number 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Amen. We know that God will add his own blessing to the reading of his inspired and infallible word. Let us seek the Lord for prayer, and let's ask God to write his word upon our hearts and to speak to us through his truth today. Our gracious Father, we come into your holy presence and we pray that we will hear your voice today. We pray that we will know you to be speaking to us. May there be a word for our hearts and draw us near to you. In the Savior's name we ask all of this. Amen. Amen. Today our look at these Bible characters brings us to the life of Lot. And we're going to call Lot's experience, his journey through this world, as a wasted Christian life. Whenever we read the account of Lot in the scriptures, we would wonder whether he was saved or not. And then we come to the New Testament and to the writings of Peter, and we discover that Peter called him righteous Lot. And so he was a righteous man, a man with great privilege, but sadly and tragically he wasted all of that, and his life was not what God had intended for him. It was a wasted Christian life. From that perspective, Lot isn't exactly the most encouraging example to draw lessons from, but it is a needful example, because the characters of Scripture, we have the good and the bad, we have the successful, we have the failing, we have the backslidden, we have so many examples, and we have to draw lessons from each one. The variety of examples we have, and Lot is one that comes to us particularly as a warning, and with much challenge. Lot had spent his whole life living with Abram. Whenever we come back there to Genesis chapter 11, you will notice there in verse 26 that Terah had three sons, Abram, Nahor, and Haran. So here was a family together, a happy family. But this family experienced a very great tragedy in the verse 28. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in the Ur of the Chaldees. So Haran, the father of Lot, died. So Lot lost his father when he was relatively young, because Lot's father had been outlived by Lot's grandfather Terah. And so Terah experienced this tragedy of losing his son. And that is a hard blow for any parent. But this did something to the family. This changed the family's outlook. And this was all very providential, of course, because it was God's intention to take Abram away from the Ur of the Chaldees. And Abram moved out of the Ur of the Chaldees whenever Haran died, because you will see there in the verse 31 that Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from the Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. They came unto Haran and dwelt there. They did not go to the land of Canaan. They came to a place called Haran, which was roughly halfway between the Ur of the Chaldees and Canaan. And they stopped there. No one quite knows why they stopped. No one quite knows why they paused. But pause they did. Perhaps it was because of Terah's age. Perhaps he couldn't journey any further. Perhaps it was because this place that they called Haran, it's interesting, they called it Haran, so they called the name of this place after the father of Lot, who had died. And it all underscores the dreadful impact that Haran's death had upon this family, that they even called the place after his name. And they dwelt there for a period of time. And Terah died in Haran, Genesis 11 and 32. And so that is just a little bit of Lot's background, how he came to be with Abram. So although Abram was his uncle, he became very much as a father figure. But yet, Lot, he spurned those kinds of privileges. Alexander White, who is a great student of the biographies of Scripture, he said concerning Terah, he was the father of those old men whose day is not yet done. Because Terah was an old man, and he suffered the tragedy of losing his son. But yet Terah did something. He took Abram closer to the land of Canaan, which was God's place for Abram. So God still had a purpose for the old man. And you may be elderly here, God still has a purpose for you. And you still have work to do, particularly in influence and shaping the next generation, encouraging the rest of us. And so, Terah is the father of those kinds of people. Abram is the father of the faithful. And we know about that, and we have studied Abram, and we know that fact so well. But what about Lot? What is Lot the father of? Lot is the father of those that are scarcely saved. The father of those that are scarcely saved. Lot is also the father of those who live experiencing a disappointing life, and they're never happy. And that's the kind of a life that Lot lived. Therefore, we're calling him a wasted Christian life. The father of those that are scarcely saved, is it possible to be scarcely saved? Is it possible to be saved and just about saved? Is such a thing possible? Well, the Apostle Paul said that it is. If you come with me over to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I want to show you something. First Corinthians chapter 3, the verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. What does that mean? Saved, so as by fire. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul, he gives us this picture. I'll just describe it for you very quickly. All of God's people are standing before the Lord, the judgment seat of Christ. It's a judgment that pertains particularly to Christians. And we'll not be judged for our sins. Our sins are under the blood of Christ. God can't judge us for our sins. But we'll be judged according to the work we've done for the Lord. And so all of our life experience since the moment we were saved goes through a fire. And after the fire passes away, all of the stuff that's just rubbish about our lives, it's gone. It's just ash. But that which is good, gold, silver, precious stones, the things we've done for the Lord, how we've served the Lord, how we've obeyed the Lord, the work we've done for Christ, the gold, silver, precious stones, that's going to remain because those kinds of things never get destroyed. And so we will be left with these two piles, the piles of ash and the piles of gold, silver, precious stones. And depending on how much gold, silver, precious stones we have, there's going to be rewards in heaven. And there's different levels of reward in heaven. The scripture teaches all of that. But there will be some, sadly, tragically, the ash is there and no gold, silver, precious stones. Still in heaven. Still with Christ forever, but that person will never have used their lives for the Lord. The Lord wanted them to use their lives for Him. Saved so as by fire. In heaven, but yet God hasn't saved us just to go to heaven. God has saved us to live for Him now. To serve Him now. Lot never learned that lesson. He never got that lesson. And I fear there are many, many people and they're saved and they have not got to the stage where they have learned that lesson. What God's purpose for them is. What is the Lord's purpose for him? It is to glorify God, to enjoy Him forever. It is to live for the glory of the Lord. Our model text for this year is found in Romans chapter 11 and the verse 36. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. All things are for Christ. God has saved us for Christ, for his honor, for his glory. And unless we're living for Christ, for the honor of Christ, for the glory of Christ, we're wasting our time. And Lot is a solemn example of one who wasted his time. A wasted Christian life. And so let us just go through some headings here and draw some of these lessons out a little bit more. There was Lot's family privileges. What was the family that Lot belonged to? It was a covenant family. His uncle Abram was part of God's covenant. And God had a covenant with Abram that God would make his family a great family. A blessed family. All nations of the world would be blessed through that family. And God had this personal relationship with Abram. Special relationship. And so Lot had witnessed Abram's journey with the Lord. And he was there when Abram said, we're going to go on a journey. I'm not quite sure where it's going to end up, but God's called me away from Haran. And he's called me to travel. And Lot took up the traveling with his uncle Abram. And so he had seen God at work in this man's life. And it was a covenant family, a family that would experience great and tremendous blessings. Lot was in this family. And yet Lot wasted those privileges that he had within this family. And he ended up in Sodom. Never ever underestimate the privilege of being in a place where God's word is preached. Never ever underestimate the privilege of being part of a family where your parents are saved and where they know the Lord. And where they bring you to hear the gospel preached. And where they bring you and they brought you to Sabbath school to hear God's word being taught. Those are amazing and incredible privileges that we should never take for granted. And Lot had all of those privileges. And yet they meant nothing to him. And we will stand accountable to God for what we did with the privileges that God has given to us. Make use of those privileges. Their children grow up in families and never hear the gospel. They don't know what prayer is. They don't know what singing is. Singing praises to God. The only songs they know, the songs of the world, the songs of Satan. They don't know what it is to know the Bible, to read the Bible. Have the Bible taught to them. There are children like that, young people like that, in this land in which we live today. And across the world, there are societies that never hear a missionary, never hear God's word. People lost in darkness. But you're not like that. But yet your condemnation will be greater if you turn away from these precious privileges that God has given to you. Lot, he spurned them. Let's think about his foolish passions. We were reading about his foolish passions here in Genesis chapter 13. Lot and Abram, they had a business each. They were agricultural men. They had flocks, they had herds. They had sheep, and they had goats. They had workers, they had herdmen. And they were doing rather well in Canaan. And they had many flocks, many servants. And they were working and they were laboring together, looking for grass, getting the grazing, looking for watering holes. But something happened in verse 6. The land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so they could not dwell together. There were difficulties, particularly amongst the herdmen. There was squabbling and fighting, and there was competition. And it wasn't a good thing. But Abram had a very special way of resolving this problem. Show something of the grace that was in his life. Because after all, he was the senior partner in this enterprise. And he said to Lot in the verse 8, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herd men and thy herd men, for we be brethren." Look, we're brethren. We might as well be father and son. That was the relationship between them. This strife is not good. Abram didn't like strife. He was a man of peace. But Abram could have said, "Look, I'll choose where I'm going, and then you can go a different direction." He didn't do that. He said to Lot, "Look, you choose where you're going. You choose a place where you can graze your flocks, where you can continue on your business, and then I go somewhere else." It was an incredibly selfless action on Abram's part. Abram was not thinking of what would be economically advantageous to him. He was thinking of peace. He was thinking of solving a problem. And his own needs didn't really come into it. But whenever Lot had the opportunity, we're told in verse 10, Lot lifted up his eyes. Many a problem has been caused because we've lifted up our eyes. And our eyes have become filled with some kind of desire that's not of God. Something selfish. Something that gratifies us. Something that pleases us. Lot lifted up his eyes. What did he see? He saw the plain of Jordan. It was well watered everywhere. It was just like Eden itself. It was like the garden of the Lord. It was extremely advantageous. And Lot shows him in verse 11 all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east and they separated themselves the one from the other. All Lot was interested in was Lot. How he could gain the advantage. How he could move ahead. How he could gain the upper hand. How he could have more money in his pocket. How he could have more herds. He was thinking about the potential for trading with Sodom and Gomorrah. These were great cities, prosperous cities, filled with people. I got on well in that district. And so that was the choice that he took. That choice has been taken by so many down through the years. That choice has been taken by a young person who chose to leave home for entirely the wrong reasons. Just to get away and get independence and go their own way. That choice has been taken by a man who has chosen to work the clock round without thinking of his spirituality or even thinking of his family at times. Just to get on in this world. Just to get on in terms of life. Just to fill the bank balance. That choice has been taken by those that have rowed and argued over inheritances and all kinds of things. Foolish passions. Lot, he got what he wanted. But there was going to be a price to pay. Sin will always extract a price. And so we come to Lot's fearful position now. You will see that there was a progression with the way in which Lot went. You will see in verse 12, Lot went into the cities of the plain. He dwelt in the cities of the plain. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. So he didn't go to Sodom. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. Didn't go there. But his heart was being drawn towards that place. But then, whenever we move forward a little in the scriptures, we will find that Lot is actually in the city of Sodom itself. Genesis 19, verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. So he's not only living in Sodom, but he's in the gate of Sodom. That means that he is a position within the city. His influence within the city. The rulers of the city sat in the gate. So Lot was a man of great note within Sodom. Now, he had done really well for himself. He had become prosperous. He now had a family. He now had power. He now had a certain prestige. He had all of these things. But it was a fearful position to be in, because Lot was a sinful city. Verse 13 of Genesis 13 says, the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. They were terrible sinners. Wicked sinners. Grievous sinners. And this was the place in which Lot ended up. And we know from what Peter tells us that Lot was never happy all of the time he was there. In 2 Peter chapter 2 in the verse 7 we read that just Lot, he was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. As he looked at the men of Sodom and As he saw what they did, as he saw the lifestyle, as he witnessed the culture of that place, his soul was vexed every day. Every day he knew he should not have been there. What was the money doing for him? What was the wealth doing for him? What was the trade doing for him? And we have this frightful event that took place in Genesis 19 where these angels of God came to Lot to save him. But the men of Sodom, they wanted these angels. They saw these men coming, these strangers, because they wanted to abuse them. And what did Lot do. In the verse 8, behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray thee, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. What an awful place Lot had slumped to. What a predicament he had got himself in. It was a fearful position. The price of sin. Sin will always take you further than you want to go. Always remember that. Whenever the temptation comes, how's it all going to end up? Well, it ended up badly for poor Lot. But yet in the midst of it all, there was a family praying. God confided with Abram that Sodom and Gomorrah were going to be destroyed. It was going to be a catastrophic event. That whole place would go up in flames. The fire and brimstone would fall. God, in the past, has always dealt with every immoral, sinful, corrupt society. Every great empire that has ever fallen. That's been God's judgment. And God was going to deal with Sodom and Gomorrah. But whenever Abram learned that Sodom and Gomorrah were going to be consumed, he prayed. And he held on to God. And he prayed earnestly that God would save Sodom. If there's 50 righteous there, God said, yes, I'll save it for 50. But there wasn't 50. 45 righteous, 40 righteous, 10 righteous. There wasn't even 10 righteous people found in Sodom. And so judgment fell. But as Abram prayed, Lot didn't know it. That was a terrible night. The night that Sodom would be destroyed and Gomorrah would be destroyed. But Lot didn't realize it. But away in the hill overlooking that plain, Abram was praying. The very place where Lot one day had looked down and saw these cities and was attracted by them. And that very place, prayer was being convened. That was a place Lot should have been in. The place of prayer. He should have been up there with his uncle praying. Instead he was in Sodom. I wonder where you are instead of at the place of prayer. What are you doing when you should be praying? But yet Lot didn't realize it. As he was caught up in that mess, there was a man praying for him. Abram and Lot never met together again. It's possible Abram never even knew that Lot was saved from Sodom. But Lot was delivered. Because his uncle was praying. Oh, the benefits of having people praying for us. Oh, the benefits of having people praying for you. What a privilege. And Lot was pulled out of that disaster. But yet his end was still so catastrophic. The last sight we get of Lot in Scripture, he's on his own with his daughters. His wife has died and become a pillar of salt. That little pillar in the illustration there, that's called Lot's wife, because in that part of the world where Sodom and Gomorrah used to be, you have the Dead Sea now. Perhaps that Dead Sea is the very place where the cities of the plain were. The lowest point on earth. And there are salt pillars, and that one's called Lot's wife. And she turned back and became a pillar of salt. Her heart was in Sodom. And so Lot and his two daughters went on. They lived in a cave. And there was drunkenness, and there was debauchery. There was incest. That's the last we see of him. Sin took its price. Of its praise. It was just a wasted life. Let's not waste our lives. Let's use them for the Lord. Let's use them for His glory. Let's not get caught up in this world and all that it seems to offer us, because the pleasures will buck me for a time. The pleasure that Lot got out of Sodom, it just evaporated. And one night it was gone. But Abram continued on. Because the Lord said to Abram, after Lot went to the plain of Jordan, Abram heard from the Lord, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. Oh, to have the Lord. There's nothing like that. May the Lord speak to our hearts today. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word right out upon our hearts. Deliver us from the path that Lot chose. Help us rather to choose Abram's path and go through with God. For Christ's sake.